We are so excited, Jusai, to be here this morning because today's a big day. Because today is our very last day of the Transform series. And we're eager to not only share where we have been in this series and in this year, but also to look forward of the direction that we're going to be going together.
Yeah, and before we go much further, I want to say I've really enjoyed preaching this series with you. And I also want to congratulate you on your one-year anniversary here at Alameda and in full-time ministry. So, yeah.
I made it.
I tell you what, you're doing a great job, and we are blessed to have you and Darian with us and part of
that.
Our church family. So congratulations on that. Yeah, and as Peyton mentioned, one of the themes that we've been talking about all year long in this from the pulpit, and really the theme of our journey in the pulpit this year, could be summarized by one word, and that is fellowship. In our very first sermon series of the year, we determined that like a newspaper, followers of Jesus Christ herald the good news of Jesus Christ. And one of the things we talked about in that series is that the best way to herald the good news of Jesus is to be good news in the world. And the best way to be good news in the world is to live a life that has been transformed by the gospel and grace of Jesus Christ. And then once our lives have been transformed by Christ and we have allowed and continue to allow the Spirit to transform us into the character of Christ, then we are ready to be the faithful presence of Christ in the world. And that's what we're going to be talking about in our next series.
And this series, it truly has been transforming. I mean, I remember whenever you first sat down with me a couple months ago talking about this series, and you illustrated it like a Marine, right? Because they quite literally are different people when they return from boot camp.
Yeah.
I mean, their posture is straighter. Their speech is clearer, their bodies are stronger, their spirit is firmed. And as transformed believers in Jesus Christ, we should quite literally be different people than we were before, right? And that is why I've enjoyed this series so much, because not only have we walked through some foundational elements of our new walk, our new life with Jesus, but we've also shared some practical advice that we can take in our lives to strengthen ourselves in those areas. And coming out of it, honestly, I feel the sense of maturity.
Yeah, well, I'm glad for that, because that's, of course, the goal, is we want to be maturing in our walk with Christ. And a great example of what we've been talking about throughout this series is found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, you might want to go ahead and turn there with us as we'll be reading this passage in its entirety. You know, one of the most famous verses in all the Bible is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where the Apostle Paul says that he can do all things through the name of the one he used to persecute. Now, that's quite a transformation. That is a transformed perspective that Paul has about Jesus. Jesus used to be the one that Paul persecuted. Now Jesus is the one whom Paul worships. And in Philippians 3, 4 through 16, we have a deeper description of the type of transformation that Paul went through because of his belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Beginning in the second half of verse 4, Paul says, "If someone else thinks they have more, or thinks they have reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless." So here Paul is saying that in his day and in his time, his resume would stack up against anybody. This is an impressive resume that Paul is sharing. And this is how he used to look at the world. This is how he used to make his way in the world, is through these kinds of categories and characteristics. But then Paul met Jesus and everything changed. So verse 7. "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Again, I want to pause here, because what we're seeing is a remarkable example of a transformed life. Paul says that he has lost everything he once held dear. Everything that spoke to his identity and gave him a sense of worth in the world. Paul lost all of that, but he says it's okay because what I gained in Christ far surpasses anything I could gain in this world. And also what transformed for Paul is, did you catch how at the beginning Paul says that his righteousness used to be based on how well he followed through on the law, and in that score, on that scoreboard, he was declared faultless. But now what's been transformed is Paul sees that that's no longer how you relate to God. That now the way you relate to God, the way you are reconciled to God, is through Jesus Christ. And so now that's the kind of righteousness he's pointing to. Well, let's continue reading. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And Peyton, in this passage, Paul is saying that his whole worldview has been transformed. The way he views God and Jesus and the way he views how God works in the world has been completely transformed. Also, the way in which Paul identifies himself has also been transformed. Paul's passions, his desires, his goals in life, his greatest pursuits in life, every aspect of Paul's life has been transformed by Jesus Christ. And so Paul says that those of us who are maturing into Christ, that we should also have that kind of mindset. Paul says that every follower of Jesus Christ who has truly been transformed by the gospel and grace of Christ should also be experiencing the kind of transformation in their lives that he has gone through. And that's what he tells us in verses 15 and 16. He encourages us to live up to this, to embrace transformation as an expectation and lean into it.
You know, that's a beautiful idea of transformation, and Paul gives us a wonderful example of how it transforms our lives. So how every aspect of it, it's not just part to every aspect. And thinking about transformation is it's happening right here in our body of people. I mean, we so often think of transformation and we look at the end result, that it has to be some worldwide thing or it has to be some life-changing thing that impacts our life immediately and we're completely different people. But what we saw in the series is that there's things in our lives that subtly change, that things that might seem small but have huge implications on our life or the life of others. And if we can change these small things in our life, the transformation begins happening and rolling over into other aspects of our life. I mean, just last week we talked about gratitude, overflowing gratitude, of how there's nothing too small, too mundane, too average to be thankful for. An idea of starting with something small that we can hold on to, we can grasp, and then moving and letting that transform our life in the process. Right. And transformation, what a powerful word. I mean, what does that word mean to you? I mean, how is God working in your life to transform it, to be different, to live differently? We want you to hear from one of our members on what he had and how he answered this question. Those are some powerful words from James and a reminder to us that not only do we play a role in our own walk with Jesus, but the importance that we play in other people's walks as well. And James, he kind of zoned in and on an important word there. Did you catch it at the end of courage? I mean, what an important aspect that plays into every part of this transformation process. I mean, it's going to take courage to change our view of the world. It's going to take courage to live in community with others. It's going to take courage to live the way that and to live the way and do the things that the Lord requires of us to do. Being transformed, it's going to take a lot of courage. But here's the thing about it, is in the end, it's going to be totally worth it. And we have to trust that God is going to provide us with the strength and the courage that we need to live these transformed life in Him. But this has been quite a journey. And we've gone through a lot of different elements. And so maybe it'd be good for our minds to be refreshed of where transformation should or has been happening in our life.
Yeah, we started this series on Easter Sunday. And of course, being Easter Sunday, the topic for that sermon was Transformed by the Resurrection. And we talked about how the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, which makes our own resurrection from the dead possible, how that resurrection and believing in that resurrection has the ability to transform our despair into hope and to transform our fear into courage. And we also talked about how God's desire for us, that God's deepest desire, that His greatest goal for us is that we be transformed into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. That our character would look like the character of Christ. When our character is transformed in that way, our view of the world begins to change. Because we start to look at the world not through just our own lens, or not just through the lens of flesh and blood, but we see the bigger picture. Our eyes are open to the greater reality of how God is working in the world and what God is working towards and moving us towards. And so, one of the things that transforms about us when we begin to be transformed into the character of Christ is that we have a different perspective of the world and we have a different attitude by which we approach the world. We also saw in this series that transformed followers of Jesus Christ intentionally seek God's direction and they look to God as their primary guidance system. And one of the ways that followers of Jesus Christ do that is that they prioritize worship. Transformed followers of Jesus Christ, those who have been changed by the good news of Christ, by the grace and the mercy of Christ, they don't look at the worship of God as an optional activity. Rather, they view it as something that is greatly needed. In fact, they look at worship as like we look at oxygen. That worship is so necessary, that it's so life-giving to our souls, that we prioritize it, that it becomes part of who we are and part of what we do.
We then had Ben Marinas join us from EEM, Eastern European Mission, and he talked about the role that the Bible is playing in Eastern Europe to literally convert Muslims, and how the example of Christians living out this devotion, love, and compassion to them is revolutionary, and it's changing these people's lives, and how the same book that they're using over there to transform people's lives is the book that's sitting in our hands right now. And that we can trust in the power and the relevance that the Bible has today. And he challenged us to be actively reading the Word and trusting in its power. We then discussed community and how God is for community. In fact, He created us to live with others in the beginning. And how we should be mindful with the language that we use with each other, that it's carrying the weight of the gospel with it. And that we should let our relationships define our calendars, not the other way around. That we should actively seek to live with other people. The next week, Rusty and I, we got up here and we talked about relationships, healthy relationships, pulling from Paul's words in Romans chapter 12. We talked about how the primary relationship is with God, but how all of our other relationships mold after what relationship we have with God looks like. And from there, they turn into things of service and love and blessing. On Father's Day, Rusty discussed with us what the Lord requires of us: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And then last week was all about overflowing gratitude, that we recognize God's goodness in the world, that we humble ourselves to that reality, that our eyes are open to the blessings that are already abundant in our life, and that we're willing to be grateful to God in times of darkness and light of time, and alongside times of light. Mm-hmm.
And one of the places in Scripture that brings all of this together is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, the Apostle Peter says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." That's transformation language. We've been called out of darkness into the wonderful light of Jesus Christ. And so Peter continues with this idea of transformation and how we've been transformed by saying, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I love passages of Scripture like this because sometimes we forget what we have been given in Christ. And when we forget what we have been given in Christ, we sometimes forget that we've been called to live a transformed life. So a verse like this calls us back to that reality, that in Christ we have been given something of great worth and value, something that transforms every part of our lives. Peter continues, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles." And if you know the context of Peter, the reason he's using those particular terms is that these people are treated as exiles because their lives are now so different. Their transformed lives, in which they are now walking in the likeness of Christ, it sets them apart so much from the rest of society that the rest of society has started to treat them as exiles. And so he says, "I urge you as foreigners and exiles, made that way because of their transformed lives, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." What Peter is saying there is that When we start to live lives that have been transformed by the gospel and grace of Jesus Christ, that those lives are so different and they're so attractive that other people in the world, that people within our culture, within our society, that they will look at that transformed life and they'll say, "I want that. That is so different than what I'm experiencing. I want to know more about that." And so this is why Peter is saying, live such transformed lives that people see that, even if they don't agree with you, even if they think you're wrong on all the issues or that you're living on the wrong side of history, they'll at least respect how you are living your life. And sometimes we Christians forget that that is a powerful way to reach others for Christ. We look at a verse like 1 Peter 2:12 and we think, can that really happen? I mean, can we really reach people for Christ just by living transformed lives that are authentic? By doing the things that Jesus did, by saying the things that Jesus said? And in this series, we had a powerful reminder that yes, that still happens today. When Ben Marinas from Eastern European Mission was with us, he shared with us a video of a man named Masood, who's a former Muslim converted to Christianity. And the reason why he was converted to Christianity was because of the transformed lives of the Christians who were around him and the way that they served him. This was a powerful video, and so we want to show it to you again. The phrase from that video that stands out to me most is when Masood says, "If I reject Jesus, I reject life." And I think about what we just read in Philippians chapter 3, 4 through 16. That's basically what Paul was saying. You know, when we look at what Masood, what it cost him to follow Christ, that cost was great. He truly did lose everything he had known about life up to that point. But just like what Paul said, he looked at Christ and found what and determined that what he had found in Christ, that the knowledge of Christ far surpassed anything that he had been banking on before that was attached to this world. And so he is living a transformed life, and it gives me chills when I watch that video to think that my transformed life could be used by God to help someone else's life be transformed by Christ.
Yeah, this video is a powerful example of how God is still at work in the world. Mm-hmm. And he's still working in the lives of devoted Christians all around the world to bring people closer to him. It's a powerful reminder. And speaking of reminders, we all need reminders from time to time.
That's right.
Especially of the important things in life. I almost imagine it like a dashboard in your car. Now, whenever you have something wrong with your car, something specific, you know, something needs to be replaced, something needs to be examined or whatever, a little light pops up on your dashboard. Right, just this past week, we had our oil light pop up. Now, there's only certain things that I can do to make that light go away. Right, if I go to the gas station and fill my tank up with gas and put, you know, air in my tires, that little light is still going to be gone because I haven't addressed the problem that is wrong. Right? Though I fixed other parts, right, the problem that's wrong makes it incomplete. There's something still wrong with it. And because living a transformed life is so important to us, we wanted to provide you with a life dashboard. And you can actually find that reference in your bulletin if you want to look at it now, or perhaps you've been looking at it throughout this entire sermon. But what have you done? Like, what is broken in your life? What isn't up to par? What light might be flashing? Right? Because we've broken down these fundamental elements that make up this new life with Christ, and we've given some practical things that we can begin doing to strengthen those areas. We just have to simply look at our dashboard. Maybe your Bible light is flashing. Maybe you're not reading God's word as actively as you want to or you should be. Or maybe your relationships need to be reevaluated or upgraded. What things in your life are stopping you from living a fully transformed in life? And are you seeking out, are you pursuing the solution to live this transformed life with God?
Yeah. On August 30th, we are going to start another Financial Peace University class, and you'll be hearing more about that, but if you're interested in that, you might just want to make a mental note of that, put that on your calendar. August 30th, we'll be starting that class. And in that class, Dave Ramsey has this phrase that he often uses throughout that series, and he says, "To live like no one else, you must live like no one else." And what he means by that is, in order to live like no one else, in his terms, to be debt-free, to save money, to have a budget and to work that budget and have a plan so that later you can live like no one else and actually have money saved up, money that you can give and help others with, that if that's your goal, you've got to live like no one else so that later you can live like no one else. Well, that phrase came to mind when I was thinking about this series and particularly this sermon. Because that's really kind of what we're saying. To live like no one else, you need to live like no one else. And what we mean by that is that Jesus Christ says to us that he offers abundant life. That he came to give us life and to give it to the full. And that's the kind of life we want to live. But in order to embrace that kind of life, in order to experience the abundant life that Christ offers, we must live like no one else, meaning that we must stop conforming to the patterns of this world and be transformed into the character and likeness of Jesus Christ so that we can experience the peace and the joy and the mercy and the love and the hope and the future that Jesus Christ provides. But in order for us to get there and to experience that kind of life, we've got to recognize that what Jesus offers us far outweighs any kind of life we could make for ourselves in this world. And so maybe the challenge for you is that you see that in some ways in your life, you're simply conforming to the patterns of the world. You're just simply going along and doing things like everybody else does it. And what we're telling you today is that that kind of lifestyle is not going to cut it. It's not going to get you what you truly want and what your heart really yearns for. To experience that, you've got to start being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And so we offer this invitation to you today to stop conforming to the patterns of this world so that you can be transformed by the Spirit of God into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And if we can help you in that pursuit, we want to do that. And so here at the invitation song, some of our elders and their wives will be out in the lobby waiting for you if you want to pray with one of our spiritual shepherds. Or maybe you need to start your life with Christ by being baptized into His name today. And if that's the case, then you can come to the front of the auditorium and you can do all of that right now as we stand and sing together.